I like to always start with a little account, because at my age, I have all these stories in my belly, or in my head, and they need to come out. So you get those little accounts. When we lived in Beaverdale, PA, it was like the garden spot of America down there. Rock dumps on this side, and oh, what a town. But anyway, when we were there, Judy was involved with Alliance Women, and she was the treasurer. And she had to go away for a couple days to an Alliance Women's meeting. Can you folks hear me? Okay. And so I was in charge of the kids. I had all three of them, and the girls needed their hair brushed, and I wasn't doing so good, so I just took them to the beauty shop and had them cut bowl cuts on them. And I can't tell you what Judy said when she came home, but anyway, we got their hair cut. And I said, tonight we're going to the Johnstown Airport for supper. Nice dining room there, and you could watch planes land, and it's just like something like here in Dubois. So we went in, and when I went in, at the bar, there's a bar there, this guy just went like that to me and waved. Scott says, "Who's that?" I said, "I don't know, but I think he's drunk." He must be drunk. So every time I would look up from the table when we were having our meal, that guy would just go, he would salute me and wave. And he was teetotally off the stool, and oh boy. And we went to pay the bill, and it was paid. And I said to the waitress, "Who?" "The guy at the bar." So we're leaving, and Scott was about 12 or 13. He said, "Is that guy hitting on you or something?" I said, "I don't think so." "I don't think so." And so I went over and I said to the guy, "I want to thank you for buying our dinner." "That's okay. I know you don't want people to know who you are. You're kind of disguised." I said, "Oh." And guess what? They were making the movie in Johnstown with Paul Newman, Slapshot, that one where he was the guy thought I was Paul Newman. "These are my kids." He said, "I know you don't want a lot of attention drawn on you." And I go, "Oh, no, I don't. I really don't." I wasn't going to explain. I was going to take the free meal and go out the door. That was certainly mistaken identity in that case. I know who I was. I'm just old, the Reverend James Ray Baker, and that name got me in trouble one day. Judy and I are flying back from Fort Myers, spent a couple weeks down there, down in that area, and as the plane landed, a rocky landing, shaking, the lady across the aisle, you've heard this before, the lady across the aisle said to me, reached over and she said to me, "Could tap my arm." I was on the aisle seat. She said, "Could you pray with me? I'm frightened." I said, "Sure, dear, I can pray with you." I didn't know the lady from Adam. I said, she said, "I think you're a religious man. How would you know that?" "I saw the book you were reading. It's a religious book." And I said, "I want to tell you that my name is the Reverend Jim Baker." You remember Jim and Tammy. So I wanted to just see how her reaction was. She looked at me, and she looked over at Judy, who didn't look like Tammy Faye. And she said, "I don't care who the blank you are, just pray for me." I said, "Okay, dear." And we landed. We made it. But we have to know who we are. And we're going to look today in the book of John. We'll get there in a minute. It's chapter 6. But in the book of John, there are many I ams in that book. John 6:35 is right there. It'll be before us pretty soon. We don't need it right now, Thomas. 6:35, Christ said, I am the bread of life. 8:12, Christ said, I am the light of the world. 10:7, I am the door of the sheep. The sheep can come into the barn, and I'm the door, and I close the door and keep them safe. I am the good shepherd, 10:11. 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. 15:1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, it's better that Jesus said in 6:35, and like I said, well, that's our main scripture, but it's better that Jesus said, I am the bread of life, instead of I am the broccoli of life, or the carrot of life, or the tomato of life, or the turnip of life. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I like bread. Who here doesn't like bread in one form or the other? I get this naturally from my family, and because my family name, of course, is Baker, but my mother's side of the family were the Taylors, and the Taylors had a major bakery in Barnesboro, PA. Taylor's Bakery, and Mom would go over there and box up cookies when I was a kid. I was a little kid sitting at the end of a big stainless steel table, and I would sit there, and great-grandma would say, Dorothy, to my mother, if you break a cookie, Ray can have it. I didn't get the whole cookies because they're going to sell them if you break one. And so I learned to pray. That's where I learned to pray at that table. Oh, Lord, let her break a cookie. So I have those cookies. So I like bread. And bread we find in the Bible many times, a discussion or a topic of bread. Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Here we are in the midst of that proceeding. So now we're going to look at John chapter 6, and we'll get that up on the board for us. And Christ, this is an incident in the life of Christ. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures in everlasting life, when the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, and here's our key verse today, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you that we can bow before you. I pray, Father, that we will come with hearts, humble hearts, realizing that you, Father, are interested in us, and that you expect us to be interested in you, not for what we can get, not for what we can gain, but we are to be interested in you for yourself, for your being. After all, you are the great I am. And Father, help us to learn that in a deeper way this morning. May your Spirit be upon us. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Father, to be the men and women that you would have us be. Bless us now as we look to your word. I ask in Christ's name, and I ask that you will lead me. Help me to be an instrument of peace and love. Help me to be an instrument that will encourage and that will help to build up these people that you've given to me to be their shepherd. I pray and ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So who doesn't love bread? Somebody gave me, they always hand the preacher stuff, I always get stuff. I just could live for free and it wouldn't cost anything. Somebody gave me a comb of honey. I like that honey from a honeycomb. It's rich and it has a great taste. And then I like blueberry jelly. We get that. People give blueberry jelly. People give hot pepper jelly. She used to make it. Do you still make that? Make it. Okay, hot pepper jelly. Bread is important in scriptures. It's always coming up, that topic. Bethlehem means house of bread. In communion, we think of bread and wine, and we use that to remember Christ. In the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. It's an important thing. We speak of unleavened bread. David, when he went out to take his lunch to his brothers out there when they were fighting Goliath, he took along bread, grain, and cheese. So bread's just a very important topic for us, at least for this morning. In biblical times, they ate fish for the protein and bread for their carbs. They didn't eat much lamb. Maybe around the Passover, they ate lamb, but they were not killing lambs every day to have for their evening supper. So bread is an essential. Every culture, you see them baking bread on rocks. You see this on TV, and they're doing all, they have flat bread, and bread that's got plenty of yeast in it, or and it's raised high. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Now, the background of the story here, we always have to have the background. I was swimming at the Y a couple weeks ago, and there was a special needs kid, and Brian swims back and forth, but he does laps, and he does 15 laps. That's pretty good for this kid who is 43. That's pretty good for the kid who's 43. And I walked into the pool area, and Brian said, you've got to help me. What can I do for you, buddy? What's going on? He said, people don't understand me. Can you tell them there's the backstory to my life? Tell that guy over there who told me, don't spit in the water. Okay. I said, Brian has a thing and he can't. And he said, nope, he doesn't get the backstory. Just tell him the backstory. So I told him, Brian has this problem. And we went on and I explained it to him. But we're going to look at the backstory before we get to the verse 35. And the backstory in chapter 6 is that Christ feeds 5,000 people. Well, if you got a banquet hall, it's okay. And if you bring a long enough food, you can feed 5,000 people. And as we look at verse 15 in chapter 6, it tells us that after feeding those 5,000 people, and he did it with five loaves and two little fishes, five loaves and two fishes, and after they were done, they had 12 baskets. Isn't it interesting that it's 12 baskets, the 12 tribes? They had baskets left over for every Jew from every tribe, and they got a basket, a take-home basket, to go from the great gathering. So there were 5,000, but I think there were women that were fed, and there were children that were fed, and some people think maybe there were 15,000 all total. And they had 12 baskets left over. It's a great story. And in verse 5 there, Philip says, Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude came toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad over here who has five barley loaves, two small fish, but what are they among so many? So what are we going to do with 5,000 people? We had a funeral here one time. I had a funeral for Rhoda Makinich. I remember the name. And her daughter said, we're going to have probably, her son-in-law said, we're probably going to have 40 people at the funeral. And I said, we'll fix the funeral, dinner. They kept coming. We had 130 people in here. What are we going to do? We have food for 40 people. And I said to Steve Strishok, I said, Steve, we're going to have to go get some food. He said, just wait. And he went over to his house, and he came back with three hams, two roast beef, all this stuff that people sent over to his house, and we had a feast that day. Thank you for those hams and all that we got. But here we see 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. They divide it up. Everybody's happy. They go home with their bellies full, and they're happy campers. If we look at verses 25 and 26 of chapter 6, here's what Jesus said. Verses 25 and 26. And when they found him off him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Remember, this is after Jesus walks on the water, and they're on the other side of the sea. They go across that sea, and he says, Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. You know what these people were looking for? They had supper one night. They wanted breakfast. They were coming for breakfast. They wanted a French toast, orange juice, syrup, maybe honey. They were looking to be filled again. And he says, you want me for what I can give you rather than for who I am. I am the I Ams. Now look back in Genesis chapter 3. If you want to turn there. Why is it as we get older, our fingers don't work as nimble? I must have missed the spot. But Christ says, I am. I am the great I am. Where's that at? I can't seem to put my finger on it. That's okay. That's all right. We'll keep on moving. I'm sorry. But Christ said, I am the great I am. Or God says, I am the great I am. You know, Muslims don't want to say the name of God because they think it's sacrilegious to say the name of God. The Jewish people looked on Jesus this day for what they could get from him. After Jesus fed the crowd, there we look at verse 15 of John. And it tells us, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to a mountain by himself alone. Okay, he fed the 5,000. Let me get back on track here. He fed the 5,000. And now they figure, hey, this guy has provided all this food. He's going to do this for us all the time. We want to make him the king. We want him to be the king, and we're going to do that. And Jesus leaves, goes to the mountain and prays. The fellows are in the ship, in the boat, going across the sea during the night, and Jesus is walking on water, meets them, and immediately, it's like a miracle, that boat that he steps into hits the shore. It's right there. And they land. A great miracle took place. And he's across the sea, and people say, how did you get here? We know you didn't come on the ship. We know you didn't walk around. You didn't get on the ship. but you got off the ship. How did that all happen? And everybody jumped in their boats. They headed out to see this Christ. And Jesus said, you're looking for me for what you can get from me. So we're saying today, let's not look at Jesus for what we can get, but we have to look at Jesus for who he is. And he gives a rebuke to them. You got a fish dinner out of me, and you think I'm going to be your meal ticket. And he says to them, what I give you goes beyond your belly. What I give to you is true life. Jesus is saying the hunger, there's a hunger of the heart that can be only filled by me. I offer you more than just food and stuff. How blessed we are with stuff. Or maybe as it gets older, that stuff becomes a burden. What are we going to do? We were talking to someone the other night, and we've got some antiques in the place, and we think they're valuable. And I went to every auction in the country when we were starting the personal care home and bought this stuff that looked old, and I thought this will be valuable someday. And Judy says we should mark on the goods so the kids can see when they sell it at the yard sale, don't give it away. It's all valuable. It'll probably go for $1 a piece in the yard sale when we're gone. So these people came and said, I want breakfast. That's why we're here. It wasn't because of who he was, but what he could do for them. Christ in verse 27 once more says, and I want to emphasize this, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because the God Father has set his seal on him. Christ has so much more to offer us than stuff and goods. He offers us eternal life. He offers us an eternity in heaven. He offers us fulfillment. He offers us direction for our lives. He offers us blessings beyond all that we can imagine. And in verse 35, Jesus says, I'm the one that can bring a fulfilled life. I never in my whole existence thought I would be a pastor. I never in my existence as a young man thought that I would be standing behind a pulpit. I never in my existence wanted to be. But here I am, and you're stuck with me for a while. Make the best of it. I will. You remember that story of the woman at the well in the city of Sychar. And she was on her sixth husband. Oh, boy. Jewel, would you like six? No. Probably not. I'm not going to go there. She went out to the well, and there was Jesus. And she offered him water. No other women were there because they knew about this woman. And she went when the other women weren't there. She didn't go in the morning when the other woman would go to the well and get their water buckets full for the day. She avoided them. And her cry of her heart with six husbands was, give me someone to love. We go back to 4 verses 11 through 14. I want to read that. John 4, 11 through 14. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting. The woman said to him, sir, give me the water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. So here we have, Christ said, I'm the bread of life. Christ said, I can provide for you the water of life. I can give you everything you need for your life. Who wouldn't want it? Who would turn it away? Who would turn away everlasting life and the bread of life? When we read this and we think about Christ and all those people, it should make us want to know him in a deeper way. Know him much deeper than we do. He will satisfy all of our needs. Give your heart to Christ, and he brings true life. He's the giver of life, the sustainer of life. Now this week, Dick Bynes will have surgery and have that pacemaker implanted. And this week, Scott will have major surgery at Cleveland Clinic. Be thinking about him. And the other day, Scott said, just pray for me, Dad. We hate to have these things come upon our kids. It's a tough deal. It's a tough deal, and we think about it all the time. It's ever in the very front of our minds. But God has given Judy and I peace about that. And so whenever Christ is saying, I'm the bread of life, he's saying to Ray Baker and to Judy Baker, to everyone here, don't fret. Don't worry. Be concerned. But I am the bread of life. I am the great I am. I am who you need. I am all you need to make your life succeed. Amen? It's a wonderful God. He loves us. And today, let's remember him by taking communion together. This is sweet fellowship for us. Malia, if you'll come, and if the gentleman will come.